סתם, אפילו עוד עוד 13 מדרות שהתורה, מדרות שהתורה נדשת בהן, 13, what do you call it, 13 what?
Principles.
Principles of the Torah, we learn out of the Torah, I'm not going to repeat all the six we did before. Okay? Now we're up to the eighth one. It says like this, וכל דבר שהיה בכלל, ויצא מן הכלל ללמד, anything which is included in the rule, and it went out of that rule to teach somewhere else, לא ללמד על עצמו יצא, אלא ללמד על הכלל כולו יצא. It doesn't teach only for its only, well, explain, it's the principle itself, but it teaches for the whole rule, everything which is included in the rule. For example, Torah says, אשר ייתן מזרעו למולך מות יומת עם הארץ רגמו ואב. Person who gives from his seed, from his children, למולך, they used to put the kids through fire, through two fires, burn them or not burn them. Until today they do that in America. Look on the internet, they have the videos of it. Can it's some crazy people in America do it? Can someone who does that? Can I'm saying I saw on YouTube. Someone in Holland showed me once. Motumat, so you have to kill this person, his father. I'm out to move out, and the whole nation does tequila to him. They throw him down from the second floor, and they throw stones at him until he dies. So?
Yeah.
לכאורה, הרי עניין המולך בכלל כבר בכל התואבות, למה דגישו כאן? מולך was already included in all other abominations that the Torah was talking about before. So how come the Torah specify it and speak about it separately than the general abominations? Anyways, so how come the Torah takes it out? To teach that you'll be chayav skila. Of course it's not so. Right? In the other abominations it says that you're not allowed to do it. But to teach that it's chayav skila. So since it was written outside the rule, and it says by its skila, so not only by it there's skila, all the rest of the things, all the Torah that the Torah abans, also will be chayav skila if you do that. So the rule is, that if you have a general thing, a lot of things written in it, and then one of them is written also separately and has a chiddush in that thing. So the chiddush is not only that specifically about this thing that was written outside, rather it goes on all the things that are written in the rule.
So that another abomination such as promoting homosexuality, you should do the same thing.
Ken, skila. Not you should do, the Sanhedrin does.
Right.
So it's important to say that, so people might go around and start killing people. So that you should do, the Sanhedrin does. And today we don't have Sanhedrin. So Mirat Hashem we have.
Well, Hashem's taking care of it because of AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases.
According to the Sheva Mitzvot in Noach, they're also not permitted this perversion.
Morality, yeah.
And so they also, I suppose, their baby is supposed to kill them too.
Okay, so fine. I advise them so.
Yeah. As for Skila, I learned this from recent parents that he was about several years. And he gives an example of what today's what things that happen today that can be equal to various types of
Bidei Shamayim, Mita Bidei Shamayim, car accident, something like that.
Car accident, being shot or Skila.
Being shot is Skila, not fire?
It's both. Because the bullet is as small as something to use impact. It may be hot, but they use it. It's skila and fire.
Okay. A car accident is definitely skila.
It's definitely skila, and it may also be herring. Or seifa.
Plane crash, I don't know what. So.
And your skuds and grads. Right, and
we do not do it with the adam in our days. Rosh Hashanah will come, and everyone will do tshuva, and we won't do any. You prefer killing or prefer everyone does tshuva? What do you mean?
Tshuva.
Good.
But I'll let Hashem take care of all that.
Good, Baruch Hashem.
As he's doing an excellent job.
Midat she'it. So the eighth principle of how we learn how to tell us this. Kol davar she'ya bichlal. V'yatza liton to'an achir shuvi'en. No? Yatza lakev lo'lach mir. Anything which was in a rule, in a general place, and then it was written again outside the rule for something, it comes for leniency and not for strictness. For example, it says in the Torah, "Va'asher yavoi t're'eru bayar lachto be'etzim v'ichai ado v'garzen v'ichrot ha'etz v'nashal ha'barzel min ha'etz v'mutza t're'eru v'met hu yanos el achat me'arim ha'elev ha'chai." It says regarding a person who killed his friend by accident. Okay? Person went to chop down some wood, right? And then as he was chopping, the axe flew off the wood. So the axe, which is the metal.
The metal piece on the axe flew off
and hit his friend. Right? And his friend died. So he flees to one of these cities. It's called Il Miklat.
City's a refuge.
Right? And then he lives. No one can kill him there. He stays there, more jail kaze, until the Kohen Gadol removes his place for his son. For some different Kohen Gadol.
It was unintentional.
Unintentional. Only if it's unintentional. Okay? Okay? But we know. Without this rule, we know that someone who kills someone else is chayav nisa. Okay? So how come the Torah says here a whole story about someone killing someone, that's right, that he runs to the Il Miklat? It teaches you a leniency. So there was a rule. Someone who kills, you kill him. Mm-hmm. Then outside the rule we wrote down, right, that this guy, he killed and he runs to Il Miklat. So it doesn't say he's running for Il Miklat and he will be killed. Rather, it goes for lenient. He's running to Il Miklat and he's not being killed. It's coming to exclude from the rule. Okay? That's number 9.
Which is exceptions.
Exceptions, right. Number 10. Kol davar she'avichav v'ya tzad l'adon acher shelo k'inyano. Let's see what that means. Regarding an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a Jew who's, the Torah says that he was poor and therefore he had to steal. For whatever reason, he had to steal, and he doesn't have money to pay back. So we have a thing called, like today they have these places for addiction, so they take you out of it. So also this is a type of a thing like that. They, Beis Din, sells him to be a slave, kivyachol, but in very good conditions. Very good conditions. Let's say the Baal HaBayit has a good bed and a bad bed, he gives the good bed to the thief, and he sleeps on the bad bed.
So he gets meals,
he gets the best, he gets first. Hakol, very there. And really, fine, he has to work for him.
But only for 6 years.
And only up to 6 years.
Up to 6 years.
That's the most he would work. Unless he wants his ear to be pierced by the door, and then he works till the 50th year of yoga, not since he started. Anyways, it says that the 7th year, with his Shemitah, it doesn't have to be the 7th year, 7th year of the counting, of Shemitah years, he goes free. He's set free.
Either the 7th year comes like the 3rd or the 4th year?
Yeah.
And he's automatically 7th?
Yes.
Okay. Even though he didn't pay back the debt yet.
Right. Okay. And the Torah there says, regarding a maidservant, a Jewish woman who stole and she has to be sold as a, or that her father decided to sell her. That could also be.
But that's right? Only a certain age.
There it says, right? It says she does not go out like everyone else. Okay? Not the tzeket zavadim. Doesn't go out like everyone else. Lichora, ama ivriya and eved ivriya are the same thing. How come the Torah, right? How come the Torah took it out of the rule? We have different pasuk that are the same thing. For male or female, the same thing. How come the Torah took it out of the rule? He wants to say that Amai Ivriya has another way of going out. What's the other way for her to go out?
Isn't she promised to either the person who buys her or his son has to marry her?
That's the first line. Yeah.
No.
Either him or his son has to marry her.
Right. Okay. But there's another one before that they can go out. She shows a Simanei Na'ut.
Huh?
Simanei Na'ut.
Yes.
sign of
sign of matureness, right?
Puberty.
Yeah, right. She shows she has two hairs, and then also she goes out. And also, if the master dies, but Eva Dibri doesn't go out if the master dies. He doesn't go out if he has Simanei Na'ut. He doesn't. So she, this Amai Riyah is written outside the rule. Okay? To teach you about her, something which does not have in the rule.
And basically the whole idea is this for her own protection.
Yeah. But she has, on the one hand, she has a leniency that she could go out if he dies. On the other hand, or if she has puberty, but on the other hand, the master can marry her with the same money that the father sold her. Doesn't even have to, the money that he paid for the father, that could be kesef kiddushi. That's already a strictness. So she has leniency on the one hand, and the strictness on the other. The 11th thing is, anything which was in a rule, and then it was written out of the rule to teach you something else completely.
I don't know how much of a strategy it is.
What's a strategy?
Strategy
because if you just want to marry him.
Well, that's with any other marriage.
You have to say no,
actually. No, you have to get. Yeah. Don't ask her because the money was given when she was a kid.
Yeah. But she doesn't lose anything. The father doesn't lose anything.
Right.
You have to ask him again. I don't want this guy. I want somebody. Right. I prefer somebody with two wives, not three.
Yeah.
But also, she could say yes.
Yeah. If she says yes, it's
fine. He's a nice guy. Yeah, so. Maybe he's 60 years old. I'm not quite sure.
No, but if he marries to Darius' son, who's, you know, like 5 years older.
Okay. כל דבר שהיה בכלל ויצא לדום בדבר חדש, anything which was in the rule and comes to teach outside the rule something completely else, completely had nothing to do with the rule, you cannot return into the rule until the pasuk itself teaches it again in the rule. For example, regarding a kohen, it says that a kohen and his household, right, they can eat his bread, meaning they can eat tuma, and his daughter is also his household, who was born in his house. Doesn't say which daughter. His daughter can eat. It can mean his married daughter, his not married daughter. His daughter, it says. Someone who's his daughter. Okay? But somewhere else we learned about the daughter of a kohen that if she gets married to a person outside the kohuna family, she cannot eat kodshim. How do you do it too? You can't eat kodshim. No? Okay? So she was excluded from the rule. The rule is all the children, all the household of the kohen eats tuma and kodshim, eat all the food of the kohen. Taking it out, the rule was that it said that once she marries out, she's out. Okay? In any case, she's out. Even if she gets divorced. Okay? Even if she's a widow.
Okay.
Okay?
Making an exception.
Unless the Torah again brings her back into the eating. Where is that? The Torah says, if she's divorced, or if she's a widow, but she doesn't have any children, then she can go back to her father's house to eat.
That's different from the one before. Both of them are giving exceptions.
Yeah, but it's a different way. It's an exception in a way. The Torah excluded you, and in some way also put you back in.
From that.
Yeah.
The other one doesn't
have that. No. It's something which was in the rule. It was excluded from the rule. And then it was put back into the rule in a certain extent. Mm-hmm. So that's all rule. That's all one of the. So now we have number 12. Something davar alam min yonai, but davar alam min tsefer. Something which is learned from the beginning, something which is learned from the end of the pasuk. What does that mean? It says, in the Seder Divot, lo tignov. Okay? Not steal, what it's talking about? Humans. Okay? But the pasuk doesn't say that. Lo tignov, don't steal. Yeah, it could be meaning money, it could be meaning people. Okay? But we're learning mi'inyano. What is this? Davar amin mi'inyano. Something which is learned from what it's in. Okay? For example, okay, if you go into a store and you see socks, you're selling socks. So you assume that this store is not selling food products, he's selling clothing, right? It's learned from what's in the story. Understand what the story is about, right? Where is this pasuk of not to steal? What's around this pasuk? Don't murder. Don't do niyuf. Don't get people, right? So you assume from the matter of what's going on there that the stealing is not talking about money, but it's about people.
What's the juxtaposition?
Niyuf, immorality.
Oh.
Of the juxtaposition, right? The fact that that's what's going around there,
next to it, yeah.
Right? So that's it. That's regarding Daval Amin Minyana. What's Daval Amin Misoifoy? It says regarding, I think it was looked for the end of it. It says regarding Nigei Batim, plagues of the house. What's it called? Not plagues. What's it called? Tzara'at of the house.
Leprosy
of the walls, right?
Yeah.
A person says, the first the right a nega, the coin sees the nega, and the nega is in the walls of the house. Shekaravoti rakakoto danamua, they're reddish, they're greenish or reddish, hard green or hard red, and dark green, dark red. And Chazal say, Baita mumun gibatim to everybody getting to Shia Banum Shahoi. The house, in order for it to be susceptible to Tumas Negoim, to the contamination of Negoim, has to be made from one of three things: stone, earth, or wood. Where's that learned from? At the end of the parasha, it says, "Benatatzet Abayit," take apart the house, break apart the house, and it's stones, and it's wood, and the earth of the house. So you understand, those are the things that the house has to be made out. So out of the end, we understand what does the house mean. So in our days, there are many houses which you cannot get even tumah. They have bniyakala, light. In our days, we have a lot of houses which are made out of easy building, because of Lego kazeh, which cannot even be have any tumah.
Like metal or something?
Yeah. Metal with foam in the middle, all kinds of stuff like that. But anyways, we learned, the point is that we learned, there's things that we learned from the matter, that what's around it, and there's things which we learned from what's the end of the parasha is talking about, we understand what the beginning was talking about. So that's number 12. There are two of number 12. Number 13, and last, and least. Yeah? V'chen shnei ketuvim akhishu zeh. If you have two verses in the Torah which contradict each other, there'll be a third verse who will
reconcile
between them. Exactly. For example, the Torah says, "Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz." In the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. Right? So we understand that what did the Torah create first? Heaven. And then, the second thing the Torah created, that Hashem created, was the earth. But, afterwards, a different pasuk says, the day that Hashem made earth and heaven. So what do we understand now? So first Hashem made the earth, then He made the heaven. Contradiction. There's a third person again, Yeshaya, that teaches, "Af yadi yazda eretz v'yemini tevcha shamay." My right hand, my left hand, I'm sorry. This is my hand made the earth, and my right hand made the heavens. Kore ani aleihem yamdu yachad, and I call to them and they stand together. So we learn from this pasuk, they were made at once. The third pasuk came and made a reconcile between them. That really wasn't that one was created before the other. They were created together. Just that it wasn't seen. First everything was shown, it was seen as just water. It really was also earth over there. So the reason why we learned all the Shlosh HaSamidot, because Rav Eliyahu said that at least you should know what you're talking about when you're learning this, so in Nechshav as Limud. Because the reason why we say this, Baita Rav Yishmael, it's like Gemara. And if you're still saying the word without understanding, so you're not learning really. So at least now we know some ideas of what it is and how it is. So it's a good thing to know. That's why we went through these. We had the schut. We went through these yesterday and today. Now, at the end of the explanation on the Baisa, by the way, it's us, and the Ben Ishchai wrote all this. So Ben Yisrael writes like this: "Ata akore, you the reader, one is reading the Baisa of Abishmael. Ati azarati kala beenecha sheviu brayta zosh gura My warning should not be light in your eyes. This explanation of the biases should be fluent. You should know it fluently. Natum bekil decha, put inside in your guts and your insides. Okay? And written on your heart. Because in the principles which are written in this baisa, most of the halachas of Torah Sheba'al Peh are based on this baisa. Al ken parashat Baayit Hazok knafeh lemala. כי בא מכוונים, הוא מכוונים מכוונים, חדים מכוונים לגיעו מידות העיונות, לגיעו מידות מכיל על הרחמל, נרד חלקו מכל ראשי וסמים. He writes, what's an attribute to the midah? It's 13 attributes of mercy. Because Baruch, when he said on the Kubalim, when they say these 13 midot that we learn out of from the Torah, they know each one, which kesher it has, which connection it has with the attribute of mercy of Hashem. So even though we, in our level, maybe we do not know that, we should know that it's a very, very deep thing. It's not only physically, not only knowledge, how we learn out the Torah, but each time you say these things, and you understand what you're saying, and as a kesher, you're bringing down Hashem's mercy to the world. So you see Hashem's mercy is in the Torah, is in the mitzvot, is in all the halachot, in Torah Sheba'al Peh, Hashem's mercy is in everything. That's sound that Hashem wants to put a tefillin in a certain way, Hashem wants to say daven in a certain way, Hashem wants us to make brachot in a certain way. All the halachot, we're bringing down the mercy of Hashem to us.
The whole world.
The bounty, the shefa of Hashem. We're creating shefa when we mekayem halacha in this world. So even though we don't know, like the Yisod, the Shorosh HaAvoda, that was a big tzaddik, he lived at the time of Magid and Mezrij, he wasn't a chassid in the terms of having a rebbe or something, but he was a real pious man. I have a story about it also. He's a very holy man, and he writes in his book all the time, he's a very high thing, very high thing. And he says, you don't have to know everything, but you just know it's a very, very high thing to do with a complete heart and with complete devotion to Hashem. So that's the idea. So we're learning halachot. Okay? To tell you the power of halacha, Abdul said today in this shiur, he said a story that someone told him that how did he do tshuva? He said that he had a friend, a religious friend, and he wasn't religious at all. He said, I was completely fine. He wasn't religious. And his friend told him, his religious friend told him, you know, I have to learn halacha every day. Do you mind learning with me? Let's learn halacha every day. Fine, learn halacha every day. He didn't care. Why not? He wasn't against anything. He was secular. So he said, fine, take the kitzur shulchan aruch. And he said, wherever it opens, fine. And it opened exactly all the halachas. How to wipe yourself in the bathroom. So the religious guy was very uncomfortable. You know, this halacha that starts with maybe tzedakah, something nice, or whatever. I don't know. So he said, no, let's try again. I don't know. The chidoni guy, the not religious guy, said, no, we're open. That's what we have to learn. Don't. So he's learning with them. He's which hand you use, and which fingers you use, and why you should use, and everything. And the guy was amazing. He asked a question, exactly this, that. And that triggered him to start his process of tshuva. And after years, he told his friend, you know, because of you, the halachas of how do you wipe yourself in the bathroom, I did tshuva. He said, what? Why? He didn't even know. And because of him. He said, because I was shocked and amazed to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in every single detail in a Jewish life. There's no place, there's no gray areas at all in halacha. There is gray to be more lenient and more strict, but the halacha touches every single aspect of the Jew's life. And he was so amazed to see that Hashem is touching everything, that he decided to come close to Hashem, and he did. So the halacha, we're learning halachot, is very good. So, yeah. Limnot betzvotav. Tov limnot betzvotav. He's given midot and nisvot b'ayit al b'shmael. It's good to count with your fingers the 13 principles that we say in the b'ayit al b'shmael to say, with the fingers. Keep the same with your fingers, and it's good, so you're counting all the 13. So, like we do also the ketoret, we do with the fingers. Top. There's a machloket if to say v'chen shne ksuvim or v'chan shne ksuvim. With the tzere, the chaf, or with the patach. He says according to the Kabbalah, you should say with the patach. Because kan, just kaf nun, doesn't mean here, it means a base. The base of the two psukim are in the third one. To say that the chen means, and also another 13th one. The kan, the chan means a base. So he says to say v'chan.
Chan,
the dagish
and then
chan? No dagish.
I know
that. Dagish and chan? Chan. Because there's a vav in the beginning. There was no vav. Let's put you to sleep. After we say the Kobanot and everything and all the Vishma, we say that remember that we do not have the opportunity to bring offerings and to bring the Ptolet and to do all these amazing things. But therefore, what do we have left? To pray. So we say, Yiratzon, Hashem will build this Amidash. Yeah? Now that your heart is aroused, I'm saying all these beautiful things, and we cannot do them yet, unfortunately. So now, the opportunity to open and say, Yiratzon Mifanecha Hashem Avinu, Shivana Beis HaMikdash, you can sing it if you want. Shivana Beis HaMikdash, Shavad HaMikdash, Chabad Digut. I sing it a lot of times. So, sing. I don't know. Stam say it. Afterwards, it's Kaddish. Kaddish Al Yisrael. Yeah? The long Kaddish.
Rabbi's
Kaddish. In Ashkenazi. In Ashkenazi. In Sfarim, Kaddish Al Yisrael. Whatever, the long one. And mourners. Ariza said that when he was mourning, he used to say it. It was an Aver. But the truth is, even someone who's not an Aver could say that Kaddish. If there's no one saying it, a lot of times I just say it.
There should be somebody that should say it.
Yeah. If there's no minion, you could say it afterwards. Okay? Before Baruch Shamar, you stop, you say, Rabbi Chanana ben Akasha. And then, so it should be some Mishnah before. And then you say the Kaddish then. Yeah, but for Al Yisrael, I saw that the people are more lenient for some reason. I don't know why. For Kaddish Al Yisrael,
okay.
I saw the people are more makel from asking the parents. Only the Kaddish.
There are people who aren't real strict of it. Which that exists.
Okay, I know.
Nothing.
I have a cousin who passed away young, unfortunately, 25 years old. And the father of the cousin, his parents were alive, they were also alive. So the guy at the Chevah Kaddish, he went over to the father and he asked him, your parents are here, right? He says, you have to ask permission if you want to say Kaddish. So he went to his, I saw it happening, he went to his father and he said, can I say Kaddish on my son? Of course he said, of course he can say Kaddish.
Kaddish you have none, for both of us.
I'm ashamed of the Kaddish. Kaddish, Leilu Nishma. So he has permission from his father that he can say Kaddish, because his son did not have any children, he was still a bachelor. Whatever, I don't know what he said for a month, or I don't know what he said it for. But Stam, just the point that he had to ask permission from his father, because in Ashkenazi, even by Sfaradim, I saw written that if your father is in the same minion, then you should ask permission. I saw it. If he's not a minion, of course he can take Kaddish for the Sfaradim. Ashkenazi Yom Machmir to ask permission from the father because Kilo, you're saying, you know, Yalla, die already. I want your money or something. I don't know. By Nusach Sfarad and Sfaradim, we say Hoidu before Baruch Shema. Nusach Ashkenaz, we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. And then right away, Baruch Shema. But the Fiyasod, Fiyas Tod, according to Kabbalah, it's important to say the Hodu immediately after the Korbanot. Not to make the break of Baruch Shema.
So you say the Ashkenazim don't go according to...
No, they do not know according to Kabbalah. Even though they don't, we know... No, not Ashkenaz. Chassidim, people do Sfar. Also Ashkenazim, right? You Ashkenazim is a Sfar, right? That's Sfaradi. It's more according to the Ari.
I guess the Ashkenaz Nosaf is from Moshe by the Shor.
What is that?
Ashkenaz Nosaf is from the people who were thrown out of the country and stuck in the first temple.
Right.
And the difference, the reason for the big reason for the difference is that the ones that stayed here because they were still loyal to Beit David added things to the tikkun on the Korban by and the reasons for it. So the Sakh Sfarad and the Mizra is with the tikkunim for the Korban and the reason why it happened.
Another thing, when we say Haidu, there's a, in most Sidurim it says this. It says in the pasuk, "Ki kol Elohei amim elilim, Hashem shamayim asam." Because all the gods of the nations are just idols; they're worthless, and Hashem created heaven. Right? So it's written that you're supposed to make a break between idols and Hashem. So you don't say, "Because all the gods of the nations are idols and Hashem created heaven." It shouldn't sound like that, Chas v'Shalom. Therefore, we make a break. You call them Elilim. Pause. Hashem, Shamayim Asa, and Hashem created them. Okay? It's most Sidurim it says it. Yafsik Me'at. It's most Sidurim it says it. Okay? It says also, En Lekamod Hashem, En Lekamod Ophiah. Hashem is God of revenge. God of revenge, show yourself. Take revenge, right?
Vengeance.
Not vengeance. Not nekama.
That's the noun.
No, nekama. Not kina.
Revenge.
Take nekama. Someone did something, you want to give him back.
Revenge or vengeance?
Oh, also vengeance is
revenge. They come in the same group.
Anyways, so he says here that according to Kabbalah, you have to have in mind the 10 Ahuge Malchus.
The 10?
10 were killed by the Romans. 10 Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva.
The 10 martyrs.
Baba.
Ten? The 10 martyrs.
Martyrs?
Yeah, martyrs.
Okay.
Well, we said on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, not on Kippur. Tisha B'Av, we said.
Oh.
Not on Kippur. Tisha B'Av, we mentioned. Abi Tamar, what did I do on Kippur? Tisha B'Av, we mentioned, the Kinos.
Yeah.
Sfaradim, they don't say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabah Zedav. The first pasuk of Mizmor Shir, they don't say. They say straight from Aron Mimcha Hashem. According to Ashkenazi Sidurim, we say it's from Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabah Zedav. So, we're going to stop our love today over here.